Hey guys, just before we get into this episode of The Athlete's Mind, big announcement. Athlete's Mind clothing is now available for pre-order. I'll link all the details down below, but message us on our clothing account, Athlete's Mind Clothing, if you are interested in pre-ordering. Get in early, it's going to sell out, so you might as well pre-order now. We'll get it wrapped out and send it to you as soon as we get our stock. All the link is down below for the information. Enjoy the episode. Okay, welcome back everyone to the Athlete's Mind podcast. We are back for another guest episode. I do apologize, it has been about a week or so since we've had a guest on. We've had a couple solo episodes, but sort of continuing the theme with that whole gym chat, the mental side. I really love these episodes, and there was some great feedback from you guys from the recent one we did with Alex. So today we have Tessa Maynard on the podcast. I really appreciate you taking the time. The first question we ask on the podcast is, where did your fitness journey actually start? Did it start from a young age? Did you get into it a bit later? Speak to us a bit where the journey started for you.
Firstly, thank you so much for having me. I can't believe I've tricked you into thinking that I'm interesting, but yeah, thanks for having me. My journey started, honestly, out of unhappiness. So I was feeling lost. I didn't like myself, and I knew I needed to change something. So thought maybe I'll give the gym a go. The gym's the answer. A better body is the answer. So started training, but that didn't really fix anything. Like I had a different physique, but I was still feeling the exact same way. So then kind of looked into the more holistic side, started working on my mental health, and that's just how I fell in love with fitness. So that's where I started.
Awesome. And were there any other sports that you tried or played growing up, or was it just like straight into the gym?
Definitely. I grew up playing netball, trying to keep up with my sister, honestly.
Yeah.
She is just this crazy athlete. So any sport she did, like, I wanted to do it. So
yeah.
If she was doing netball, I'm going to try netball. I was never as good as her. She's going to do basketball, I'm going to do basketball.
Yeah.
And I'm a clumsy athlete, I'm going to tell you right now. Like, I have speed, but any coordination, none. So then I tried football, and that was great because you didn't have to be super
coordinated. It's just like straight. You just had to be like strong and
I could be a bulldog, so yeah. I was taking out people on the field, so really enjoyed that. But then hurt myself, I broke my ankle, so had to give it a break, needed that fitness side again because I lost that fitness. I was starting to feel depressed because I wasn't doing anything, and the gym was the answer to that because it's such a controlled setting. You're not around other athletes running into you. There's more, you can be safer.
Yeah, I get what you mean. And I guess looking where you are now with the gym and what you've achieved, did you ever think you would have achieved the things you have? Or did you sort of go into the gym thinking, I just want to keep fit, I just want to, you know, try out the gym a little bit? Or did you go into the gym thinking, you know, one day maybe I could compete in bodybuilding or do the things that you have done?
No, I went into the gym thinking, I can't believe people like this.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean you enjoy going to the gym and like it's effortless to go every single day? Bodybuilding as well. I was like, why would you want to restrict yourself? Like, that's not healthy. Like, definitely had a completely different view of bodybuilding. Completely just out of not knowing fully what the sport was. And didn't expect that I would be so into lifting weights and strength training, which has then led on to just so many avenues of health.
And with bodybuilding, you have actually competed. I wanted to ask you, how was that experience like for the first time?
It was definitely an experience.
Yep.
It was very interesting. I get really excited about things and just throw myself into new opportunities, sometimes without not knowing fully what I'm getting myself into. Mm. So when I actually decided to compete, it was based off just this woman that I saw in the gym who looked incredible.
Who
ended up being my coach.
Just
the fact that she was showing up every single day and just had this discipline and this confidence, and I could tell she just like held herself so high and had so much respect for herself. And I was just in awe of her and was like,
you wanted to see what that was about.
Yeah.
Like,
I want to feel that way.
Yeah.
I want to, whatever she's doing, I want it.
How about the prep though? Because I know some people I have interviewed on this podcast, they talk about how intense the prep is going into bodybuilding. How did you find that initial prep stage? Obviously, it can be a bit of a shock. How did you sort of find that?
It was honestly for me a learning curve because I had not done much research. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
Okay.
I just said, I'm going to do this. I don't know how to do it, but I'm going to do this. So was learning things as I go. I'd never tracked calories in my life. I'd never weighed my food. I didn't actually know kind of what a nutritious or balanced diet even looked like. I wasn't even doing activation or warm-ups before I was working out because I was like, that's a waste of time. You don't need that.
Yeah.
So I was just so unprepared and learning everything as I went along. Mm. So it was a bit of a messy prep, but then definitely towards that, you know, the end when you're getting close to stage day, that's when it's really, really difficult.
Yeah.
You're depleted. You're not eating much. You're starting to see stars. You're like, why am I even doing this? And then you get on stage and you're like, nah, it's all worth it.
Yeah, because I have a mate of mine, he competed in bodybuilding and he said like towards that end stage, it's the best he's ever looked, but it's the worst he's ever felt. Because like your body fat percentage is low. I mean, even you said you start seeing stars and things like that. I want to know, is bodybuilding something you want to revisit and try again? Because like you said, the first time you were sort of learning things as you went, but now because you have that knowledge, is that something you want to try again?
100%.
Yeah.
I feel like I just got the bug. I jumped on stage. The feeling of being on stage, you get tingles in your whole body. You almost forget the audience is even there. Mm. You're just with these incredible other athletes that have gone through the exact same process you have. They've worked hard. They've put everything into this. So to share the stage with them is such an incredible feeling. And it's like a high like no other. So for me, I'm like, I want that high again. So I'm going to go through all of that struggle because I want that feeling again.
And are you looking to compete this year, I'm guessing?
Yeah, so I'm going to do season B this year with ICN and probably trial out YNF as well. I just spent my off season like focusing on health and kind of growing and researching and setting myself up
now
for a better prep.
That's good. That's very crucial. It's good that you've taken the time to really research because some people get a little bit impatient. They just want to go straight to competing again, but it's good that you took that time. Something I am interested in asking you as well is during the prep stage, going back to that, did you find it hard with all the training you were doing with, I guess, sacrificing time with friends and family? Is that something that you found a little bit challenging at first? Because I know when you're a high-level athlete, bodybuilding, whatever it is, and you've got so much training going on, it can get in the way of other areas of your life. Did you find that a little bit hard? And were there ever times you had to say to your friends, look, I can't go out tonight, I have to prep, or something like that? Is that something that you sort of faced?
Yeah, you almost feel selfish in a way because you're like, I can't do these things anymore. No, I can't go grab a drink with you. I can't go and eat out. So you do start to feel a little bit selfish and then a little bit of an outsider. And I guess if people kind of don't agree with bodybuilding as well, I guess you're also getting a little bit of, why are you doing this? Like it's not worth it. Is this really what you want? But when you have the right people in your life, your friends, your family, they're going to support you no matter what, even if they think it's a stupid idea.
Yeah, they're still going to support you.
Like my mum, I don't understand why you're doing this, but she's my number one fan because she's like, that's what you want to do. So yeah, I'm going to support you. So having friends in your life and family that can adapt and go, okay, we can't do this. What can you do? We still want to see you. What can you do? So we'll just change our plans to suit you. So I was very blessed in the aspect that wasn't completely shut out from my social life.
Yeah, that's good. And like you said, it's all about who you surround yourself with. If you have you know, understanding friends and family, it makes it so much easier, I think. But going on to that, you know, schedule and where things can get quite a lot and busy for you, what does a usual week look like for you at the moment with training and, you know, trying to balance that with work and social life, all the other things going on?
It's busy.
Yeah.
It's hectic.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But I guess I'm the type of person that if I'm sitting still, I feel weird. It's not normal to have like a spare moment.
You got to be doing something.
I do love a little bit of hustle. But the week right now for me, I've actually just recently switched my routine. I'm trying to train in the mornings rather than the evenings.
Yeah.
As not a morning person, which is...
Neither am I. Hate the mornings.
Trying to get up in the morning honestly feels like crap.
Yeah.
But because I've done routines before, I'm like, if I just keep going, eventually it's going
to
become easier.
Yeah.
So training in the mornings, making sure I'm eating my breakfast. That's also another thing I never used to do. Eat your breakfast.
Most important meal of the day.
Yeah. Breakfast. Set yourself up for the day.
Yeah.
And then getting to work, working 8 hours. I've recently tried to be a little bit more clever with my lunchtime routine at work. So I sit down at a desk all day.
Yeah.
And it will even eat my lunch at my desk. Mm. So trying to make sure that I get out on my lunch break and go for a walk has just been so good for my mental health, but also my hips. Your hips get so sore.
Yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah. Just sitting at a desk all day. I don't do 8 hours, but for my job, I am sitting at a desk. But yeah, like you said, whenever you have lunch, you can just get up, go for a walk. It can make a big difference. I think that's very important. But would you say, you mentioned like lunch and, you know, having breakfast and all that sort of stuff with your diet, would you say that's in some aspects actually more challenging than the training in the gym itself? Because I know, especially when you're trying to bulk or you're trying to look a certain way, like tracking your calories, it can actually be quite challenging. So is that something you found hard with meal prepping and all that sort of stuff?
Definitely. I always say to people, I'm like, actually the training part's the easy part.
Yeah,
like it's the eating. Diet that's hard, especially when you're growing.
Mm.
When you're growing, you have to eat so much food. Yeah. So I'm still trying to decide what I find harder, cutting or like bulking.
Yeah,
because even when you're bulking, you have to be really considerate of like the food you're still consuming. And if you're consuming whole foods and still trying to hit like a huge calorie mark, that's a lot of food.
Yeah.
So definitely more difficult, but you've got to do it.
Yeah, you just have to do it. Now, something I did really want to speak about on today's episode, I was looking forward to this the most, speaking with you today. I've seen you promote a lot of this on your Instagram. You talk about it a lot, and this is actually ADHD. Now, we don't speak about this enough on The Athlete's Mind, and I think it's so good to have you in here today to share your thoughts with it. First of all, I wanted to ask, with your insight and experiences with it, how did you sort of discover that you had ADHD, and what were some of the signs that people notice with experiencing ADHD?
This is so funny. I was literally telling myself on the drive here, I was like, don't talk about ADHD. No one wants to know about it.
No. I thought it would be cool to ask. There's many people that can benefit from this, I think.
Yeah. So how I kind of discovered that was that I felt like my life was just way more chaotic than everyone else's. I was seeing everyone else hit these milestones, hit these points, or even just like their days would look how do I say that in a word? In a straight line.
Yeah, like I get what you're saying. Yeah,
like they look, you know, pretty normal. Like you're not having high highs, you're not having low lows.
Yeah.
Whereas in my day would look like extreme high, extreme low, extreme high, extreme low. And I was like, I'm exhausted all the time from feeling like this, and kind of just started to talk to my colleagues or my friends to kind of see how they experienced life. And I was starting to really feel like I wasn't experiencing the same life as some of the people around me.
Yeah.
I did end up having a huge anxiety attack at work and ended up in the hospital because my poor colleague thought I was having a heart attack, which is funny and embarrassing now, but at the time was awful.
Yeah.
And then ended up seeing a therapist about that. And luckily the therapist was actually an ADHD specialist and then kind of saw some of those behaviors as well and was like, actually, I don't think this is anxiety. I think this is stemming from something else, like should we look into ADHD? So,
yeah. And what would you say some of the strategies you have like implemented to help manage ADHD? Because even people listening now, what can they sort of do to help with that?
Number one, nutrition. 100%. There's so many tactics. I could just talk about nutrition all day.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
starting your day with omega-3 and high fats is so good for your brain.
Yeah.
So instantly you're starting your day off with a good start. And then also avoiding, as much as I love sugar, avoiding yeah, highly processed sugary foods.
Yeah.
Because they are not your brain's friends. Your gut is your second brain, so you've really got to rein in the nutrition is probably my number one. Two, it would probably be exercise. You get a clarity. It could be any exercise you want as well. You don't have to decide to go to the gym. It can be walking, it can be martial arts, it can be yoga, whatever you like doing, any way to move your body, walking even, start doing that.
Just because
you're going to start getting like a little bit of mental clarity and kind of break from all of the 50 million voices that are going on in your head right now.
Yeah, so just keep yourself active because I guess I see what you mean because like especially experiencing any mental health, like keeping yourself busy I think is really important, whether that's going to the gym, working out, whatever it may be. Because if you're just sitting there thinking by yourself, then you can get lost in your thoughts, which can't always be good. And that's, you know, going back to when you mentioned mental clarity, that's really important. Now, I did see something that you put on your Instagram recently, and this is important for people with ADHD to plan their day. And you mentioned that planning your day Monday through to Sunday, you know, having a schedule. Is that something you've implemented recently in your life? And how much would you say that has helped you?
I would say, as soon as I received my ADHD diagnosis, I stopped being in denial. Yep. I was like, this is something that you struggle with. Something you struggle with is remembering your schedule or what you have on, or you just task jump everywhere. You can't seem to like stick to routine throughout, especially your work day. So I finally accepted that. I was like, okay, yeah, I'm not good at this, but how am I going to get better at this? I'm going to put in this daily plan. So now it's just a ritual of mine every morning too. And not always, sometimes I'll just include like a little bit of a grateful moment at the top of the page.
Yeah, that's good.
And then plan out the day, put on my meetings, exactly what time they are as well, because there's power in just writing something down.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. It's interesting because like that's even something I've been doing like this year, like Monday through to Sunday, I'll say like, you know, what times I have this, what time I'm working. And it's just like, I feel like it helps so much because it's like a visual representation of what your week looks like. So you're able to look at it and be like, okay, cool, I've done that. You can tick it. What do I have next? And it just kind of keeps your life in like a good schedule, I guess, which is, I feel like it's helped me and a lot of people could benefit from that, I think. Now, sort of jumping to some more personal questions that I have for you is, with people that you look up to for advice in your life, this doesn't have to be in the gym. I know you mentioned your coach for bodybuilding, but just in general, who would you say are some of your biggest supporters when it comes to supporting you in your gym or just your life goals that you have?
100% my mom.
Yeah.
Always. Like, I've had many endeavors. Another ADHD thing is you'll have so many hobbies. Literally.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll come to her, I'm like, I'm doing this now. She's like, okay.
Yeah, you got to do that.
I'm doing this now. Okay, whatever. Yeah. So definitely she's my rock and probably knows me better than anyone else.
Yeah.
And will even call me out, you know, if things aren't right or I'm not behaving as I would normally, she'll call me out and bring me, she'll earth me again. So yeah, she's definitely probably my biggest inspiration. Yeah,
nice. And I guess for other people listening or just people out there who want to start getting into the gym or even start competing like yourself in bodybuilding, what advice would you give to them?
Firstly, do your research. Don't do it me. Do your research.
Yeah.
Figure out why you want to do bodybuilding. Like, why do you want to do this? And then check out the federations. What's the difference between the federations? Then, you know, start talking and connecting to other bodybuilders. Figure out what's the experience like. Go to a show.
Yeah.
the first show I went to was while I was in prep.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
I know it sounds so obvious, but I'm like, do your research before you throw yourself into something.
Yeah, yeah. I guess, yeah, that is important. But then again, like, you saying that you just jumped right in, like, it worked out for you, you know what I mean? And, like, even if you are learning along the way, I think that's still good because at the end of the day, you are learning, you are doing it. But, yeah, researching is definitely a big help. Now, after all, this is the athlete's mind. We do like to ask a couple mental questions. And the first one that I have for you is, with all the things you're doing in your life right now, with your gym schedule, your work, just everything, social life, have you ever experienced burnout in your life? And how did you sort of deal with stress management during that time?
Yeah, well, I guess I kind of touched it on a little bit before, a mini anxiety attack. So I would say at the start of 2023 was probably when I was feeling the most flat. And, you know, that's probably also due to, you know, coming out of a bodybuilding show, your hormones are everywhere as well. And had to do something about it. I've forgotten what the question was now.
It's just like, how do you deal with that burnout, I guess, like dealing with burnout in your life? Any like... things you like to implement to sort of manage it, I guess.
Yeah, so sleep.
Yeah.
Cry. Cry, joking, but actually not. Feel your emotions.
Yeah.
Honestly, there's so much power in actually acknowledging how you're feeling.
100%.
I feel like social media has contributed to this like toxic positivity. But in reality, we're humans that have this like huge spectrum of emotions. And you are allowed to feel them, even if they're negative. You're allowed to question them as well and be like, hey, why are you here? Actually have a conversation with yourself and be like, what's triggered this? Or where's this coming from? Question it. And then maybe come up with like a counterpoint as well and be like, especially if it's like negative about yourself, and be like, actually, that's not true. Hold up. Stop. Yeah. We have so much power of our brain. We can stop that spiral downwards as well. And I think by allowing yourself to feel them, you're not letting them pile up, because if you don't process them, they're just going to keep building and building and building. And I feel like that's when that overwhelm happens. That's when that burnout or that explosion of emotion happens, is when you've just let them build up too high.
Yeah, 100%. And people definitely need to recognize that, because like recognizing your emotions is so important, because like you said, it builds up. Even if that's like talking to someone about it, that helps a lot, because I know there's a lot of people out there that they are struggling with something or they are dealing with something and they just like brush it under the rug, kind of ignore it. But speaking to someone, recognizing those emotions, super important.
Yeah. Another one, sleep hygiene.
Yeah.
My gosh. I'm still working on this, but sleep hygiene will change your life.
Yeah. Fair enough. I mean, even like what you touched on earlier, like sort of implementing into your routine, like waking up early and stuff like that. I did actually just want to quickly talk about that. Is that something that, so you've just recently implemented like waking up early and starting your day off like that?
Yeah.
Is that more of like just this year?
Yeah, that's like, I'm not even kidding you, just a week.
A week, okay, yeah. Yeah, because
I'm trying so hard to make sure that that's a consistent thing.
I guess the thing is with waking up early, like what I've noticed, because I'm not a morning person either, but I've tried doing it, because when you do wake up early, you feel like crap. But then once you get to like that middle of the day, and you realize how productive you've been in such a short period of time, you feel so good about it. So waking up early is definitely a big positive, but you just got to fit it into your routine, get used to it.
The fresh air as well. Yeah. There's something in the fresh air in the morning. I walk to the gym and at 6:30, the air is different.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I need to start going to the gym earlier as well, because just morning is just not for me, but I'll definitely start doing that. Now, I just have one more question for you, and that is actually, what is your key motivation in life? Now, what I mean by that is, what motivates you to keep pushing past your limits when things are getting a little too much for you and you have a really busy schedule? What is that one thing you think to in your mind that is like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym today. I'm going to go and push. I'm going to do an extra set. I'm going to do these extra reps and give it my all. What is that one key motivation you think to?
I think about old Tess. I think about how she was super insecure, she was unhappy, she kind of didn't even want to live her life anymore. I always think back to her, and then I think about where I am now, and I'm like, yeah, we did it. Like, So every time I'm feeling a little bit unmotivated or questioning if I want to keep going or, you know, want to do that next extra rep and go the extra mile, I think back to her and I'm like, you're inspiring her.
Yeah.
Like she wanted to be you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, always think back to baby Tess and then I think to future Tess and I'm like, now we're setting her up.
Yeah.
We're setting her up for success, for everything, for everything she wants.
Yeah, I love that mentality. Like, and I guess that's even like, if you think about it, just like the small things, like if you do go to the gym and you say you think back to old Tess, like think about like the younger girls and the younger people in the gym that may be looking up at you and they're like, oh, I want to be like that one day. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's probably what pushes you that extra mile, like not only for yourself, but for others as well, like motivating them and they get to see like what they could potentially be one day if they put in the work. So I think that's a really good mentality to have. Everyone listening, that is going to wrap up the episode. So thank you so much, Tessa, for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking the time. We always love the gym episodes on here and talking more onto the mental side. So thank you so much for taking the time. Everyone listening, just real quick, a message from myself. This will be on YouTube and all podcast platforms. Go and follow Tessa if you want to learn more about the mental side and even gym advice and follow her journey. I'll link everything down below.
ADHD hacks as well.
For sure. Yeah, go and hit her up. I'm sure she'll be happy to help. So thank you, everyone. We'll catch you in the next episode of The Athlete's Mind. Thank you.